This is you.
K-U-T.
K-U-T, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers had taught me weren't cool. They're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your rules. Have to admit, it's getting better. A little better all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. It's always a wonderful day when you are on our campus.
Well, thank you very much. And I have to say, you know, I'm sort of sensing some building excitement. I'm sensing sort of an air of expectation on campus because I know there's a big event coming up. And
Absolutely.
Actually, that event got me thinking about a great topic for this episode. The event is homecoming.
Correct.
When alumni are encouraged to come back to campus, you know, see classmates, see faculty members, see staff that they knew and kind of get reconnected. So I understand actually Southwestern is a player in sort of the tradition of homecoming.
Isn't that crazy? So as you know, we're the first university in Texas. Texas was a republic, in fact, when our first charter was granted in 1840. But what's also interesting, a little bit of trivia about Southwestern University, is we are the first school in this country who started homecoming.
The first school in the whole United States?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Oh, that is cool. Well, you have been, so you're president of Southwestern University. You've been affiliated with other institutions of higher education in your long and illustrious career. So I'm interested to hear from you.
Yes.
Your observations about why alumni tend to stay connected and come back to campus. Because, of course, not every graduate does come back. Some of them,
sure,
goodbye, good riddance, so they don't ever want to come back. Some of them are very deeply connected, and most fall somewhere in between. But in your experience, what is it that tends to kind of create that longer-lasting connection?
All the institutions with which I've been affiliated, including as an undergraduate myself, have been of the small, more intimate-sized private mm-hmm. institutions. So I'm speaking from that, and I will tell you that there is a lot of interest to stay connected with one's alma mater. I think maybe even more so in not in numbers, but in percentage than at a larger place where you can potentially get a little bit lost in the crowd. I think the reason is because it had impact. And so it has transformed you in a powerful way. And so therefore, you want to go back to that place basically to be nourished again and to have some rejuvenation. With your colleagues, the students that you studied with years ago, the faculty who are still there that you had experienced, the staff, and then just the place, that sacred space where a transformation occurred. And also at Southwestern, you know, when students leave here, they truly are lifelong learners. So the idea of returning back to school is important. That's why part of our programming is intellectual. I mean, there's the rah-rah stuff and the fun stuff and the parties and the football and all that. But there are also lectures. There are also seminars, some of which are held by alums. So alums come back and give lectures. Some are held by faculty. My class, which meets on a Friday, will be open to the alumni so they can come to my puzzle solving class. There are lots of opportunities for them to re-nourish intellectually the curiosity and so on.
You know, we tend to think of homecomings and reunions as opportunities for classmates to reconnect with each other. But now, you know, I'm going to sound like a fuddy-duddy, but with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, pretty much you can find out what's happening with everybody without like going back to your campus and being physically in the same place with each other. So that sort of need to kind of catch up and keep up with news isn't there, in my estimation, the same way that it used to be. So it's interesting that even absent that factor, that people still feel a strong desire to experience that nurturing again.
You know, I think there were times, and this maybe is more appropriate with high school reunions than maybe college, but, you know, people want to go back just to show off, you know, look how well I did, or, you know, look at who I married and, you know, whatever, just to, you know, and look, I still have my hair, you know, kind of thing. And I think that the social media has basically dissipated that because you can see with the person's hair style with a JPEG. In some sense, I think it's a reaction to the fact that social media is as prevalent as it is. Because that live interdiscourse, that live interaction, that sharing of emotion, that shared sense of space, of purpose, of commitment, that you can't get on social media. But you can get that when you are together. And I've gone back to reunions at my alma mater, and you see all sorts of people. And you might not see necessarily a person who was your best friend. And maybe even when you were there, that person maybe even annoyed you and was a little bit irksome. But yet it's wonderful to be with that person now, so many years later, and see what they've done and kind of celebrate how far we have traveled as a collective in our own different paths. And I think you can't get that on social media. So in fact, it's almost reactionary to that. And that's why maybe it explains why it's meaningful.
Also, I want to talk a little bit about how their relationship is a two-way street. You know, there are things that the institution provided for the students who are now alumni, and the alumni are coming back to sort of get another exposure to that, if you will. You know, sometimes people will say, especially about, I guess, their undergraduate college, well, all they want from me is money. All they do is ask me for money, and I'm not going to go back because all they do is ask me for money. They're just going to ask me for money. But certainly institutions hope that their alumni will support them, and that if it was an impactful experience, that one of the ways alumni demonstrate that is through whatever financial support they're able to do. But there are other ways that alumni can provide support or demonstrate back to the institution that it really meant something to them.
That's right. And vice versa, that the institution values the alum. It's interesting. We had a while back an episode where we were talking about better schools and rankings and things of that sort. One of the things, which I don't think we mentioned back then, was that one of the ways that these generic ranking systems rank schools is by alumni giving and participation.
Like the percentage of alumni who give financially.
Because that shows that it was a value, right? And so that's why those numbers are important. So yes, I mean, the bottom line is it's wonderful when alums want to pay back what they experienced years ago by giving to the current students of today. But I think there are important ways that the alumni feel that connection, whether it's by mentoring current students, whether it's helping recruit new students. There are a variety of ways in which someone can participate. And that goes the other way too. We have alumni who are very close to our faculty to this day. And I know that because, first of all, now that I've been at Southwestern for, this is my fifth year, I have former students of mine from Southwestern reaching back to me and sharing things. But I also get emails from my colleagues who say, look at the email that I was just sent by this student who just published a book or just earned a PhD or just received tenure or just became a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. There's still this connection. And the university tries to offer that connection back to the alumni through lectures that we now stream, through events that they can engage with. I mean, homecoming is a big example of that. But we also have, of course, alumni associations all over the world.
So you said alumni can come to your creative thinking and effective puzzle solving class when they come back to campus. I'm ready for another puzzler.
Ah, great. Well, I have one.
Okay, let's do one.
You know, I have been hearing from some of our listeners, believe it or not, they write to me and they say, you know, I got this puzzler really quickly, which I think they like, but I don't.
You want a little tougher go.
So I'm going to warn our listeners that this one, besides being a visual one, which is always fun, you know, the theater of the mind here.
Yep.
Besides being a visual one, I think is challenging. So this is one that I don't think anyone's going to just whip off in 2 seconds.
Okay.
So with that preamble, I will introduce this week's puzzler. So imagine you have a 6x6 squared checkerboard. So a checkerboard that has, you know, 6 squares on one side, 6 squares on the other, and so forth. So a total of 36 squares.
Okay.
And you are going to start in the uppermost left position in that corner. And the goal is going to be to move 1 square at a time, either to the right or down.
Okay.
And the goal is to get to the lowermost right corner, so diagonally opposite.
So all the way diagonally, opposite corner. Okay.
But you're only allowed to move to the right, and you're only allowed to move down, so you can't go diagonally.
You can't just go straight.
You have to go to an adjacent square.
Okay.
And you can't go backwards. Like, you can't kind of go down, for example, that western side and then decide to kind of go back up a little bit. You always have, so that's why I'm saying you either go to the right or you go down. Those are your only options. You can't go up and you can't go to the left. You can't backtrack.
Ooh.
And the question is, How many different ways are there to go, to go from that uppermost left square to the lowermost right square? You can't backtrack. You could only move one at a time to an adjacent square going to the right or down.
So not the shortest way, not the longest way, just how many ways?
Correct.
Adhering to the rules of only to the right and only down and no backtracking.
And by the way, I think there is no shortest way because my thinking off the top of my head is that they're all the same
length. That's what I thought too.
Yeah. But that's an interesting question.
Okay. I have my little grid.
Let me see. Yes. And
I'm
you have it perfectly
go.
Done.
Okay.
Two X's where they need to be.
Yep.
May I offer a hint?
Because
I do believe this is hard.
Okay. Yes.
Use elements of effective thinking. Because one of the things there is to start off simple, understand that deeply, and look for a pattern.
Okay.
So you've got to think through that. Anyway, those are my hints, and you are not allowed to work on it now. Stop
okay,
it.
Okay, stop. All right.
We have listeners who are looking for entertainment.
Back to work. All right. As we wrap up this episode and talking about alumni and their connections to their institutions, I'm always intrigued by students, and I've certainly had classmates in my graduate and undergrad experiences who could not wait to get out. They were done. They just wanted to graduate and move on. But over time, you know, some time, some distance, some experience in life, they realize the impact the institution had. And sometimes they're the most rah-rah. They're leading the parade, you know.
That's right.
It's so interesting how that experience, upon some reflection and time and maturity on the part of us, you know, the students, can really have an impact on that relationship with the institution.
Absolutely. And that's a happy story. But just in full disclosure, I'll also point out that at many institutions, if not all, you have the opposite phenomena. Someone who longs for that institution in the days of yore, and today it's an entirely different institution with entirely different faculty, entirely different campus, and I liked it the old way. And you get that as well. And what you have to hope for is that the institution continues to grow and evolve as it moves upward, and therefore it makes the degree that the alum has more valuable and more prestigious, and that everything is moving up.
Well, and you really wouldn't want your institution to be stagnant.
Correct.
I mean, you wouldn't want the students of, you know, now and tomorrow to have a less than experience.
That's
or
right.
So, you know, you want the institution to stay, you know, evolving.
That's
and
right.
fresh.
And by the way, before we close, because I want to leave on a happy note, you mentioned that our homecoming is about to happen. You know, I'm very excited because one of the alums that we're going to bring back is a very famous comedian who was also on Dancing with the Stars a couple of seasons ago, Bill Engvall. And he is going to be giving a concert on campus.
Oh, fun.
That's open to everybody. And it's going to be actually a scholarship fundraiser event. So he's going to actually be performing. I'm really looking forward to having him back on campus and to laughing in an intellectual air and just be having fun being silly.
Well, Ed, thank you for keeping us laughing in an intellectual air.
And silly.
And for helping keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. And find Higher Ed on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.